We're not starting a new war on cancer. We're trying to end the one we've been in. What's different now is everything.
That's Greg Simon, the first executive director of the White House Cancer Moonshot. Cancer is the nation's second leading killer. More than 600,000 Americans will die of cancer this year. There's no cure around the corner, but lately there's been more progress against cancer and more optimism than ever before that the progress will continue. Much of that progress is happening right here in Boston. Today we're launching a week-long series of special reports called This Moment in Cancer. You'll hear from some of the top cancer researchers, as well as doctors, nurses, and patients. To begin, WBUR's Kerry Goldberg and Richard Knox ask, what is different about this moment in cancer, and what can we expect?
To get one idea of how different things are now, meet Sheila Mulcahy. Doctors thought she'd die years ago.
I'm 61 years old. I was a professional oncology nurse, and I developed cancer 11 years ago, and my journey has been a complicated one ever since.
One type of cancer caused tumors all over her body, including her eye sockets. A second type forced surgeons to remove her stomach and gallbladder.
But Sheila Mulcahy not only survived, she says she enjoys a very rich life. She now even helps other cancer patients decide what treatment to get.
The choices that were available to me 11 years ago compared to what they are now is phenomenal. The research is great.
Sheila Mulcahy owes her life to something called targeted therapy. It's the fruit of decades of basic research into just what causes a well-behaved cell to go renegade, become a cancer cell.
And scientists now know how that happens. It starts from damage to the DNA inside a cell that makes it race out of control, as though its accelerator pedal is stuck to the floor and its brakes are blown. Professor Bob Weinberg of MIT and the Whitehead Institute did some of that pathfinding research. It's leading to more precise and effective treatments now.
And so over the last 2.5 decades, one has made drugs which are highly targeted and specific to try to cure some of these molecular defects inside cancer cells. Some of these drugs have proven to be brilliantly successful.
Like the drug that Sheila Mulcahy took for her form of leukemia. It's controlled the cancer with far fewer side effects than old-fashioned chemotherapy, which, by the way, Kerry, was largely invented here in Boston.
But precisely targeted drug therapy hasn't worked for most cancers, right, Dick?
That's right. Too few patients benefited, and the effects often don't last.
So now what's got people really excited is immunotherapy, unleashing the patient's own immune system to attack the cancer. That idea has been around for at least a century, but only recently have scientists begun to make it work. Tyler Jacks is the director of MIT's Koch Institute for Integrative Cancer Research.
There's been a shift towards trying to understand how to best use the immune system in the treatment of cancer, for sure. There's more attention being paid to this area than any other today. In the research environment, clinical development environment, in pharmaceutical companies, I've really never seen anything like it.
The success story most people know is former President Jimmy Carter's. He had melanoma that spread to his brain. But now, after treatment with immunotherapy, along with radiation, he has no detectable cancer.
But many other cancers haven't responded as well, or at least not yet. Bob Weinberg says we don't know yet how far immunotherapy can go.
A question is the diversity of cancers that can be treated successfully by immunotherapy essentially unlimited as we begin to tweak these therapies? Or will we begin to hit brick walls?
And we need to keep in mind that the history of cancer treatment is full of shiny promises and crushing disappointments. The trouble is there will never be one cure for cancer. After all, it's more than 200 different diseases.
And now each of those 200 diseases is divided into genetic subtypes that each require specific treatments.
And even when cancers do respond, most become resistant to treatments because they mutate.
Right. Dr. Nikhil Wagle of Dana-Farber Cancer Institute compares cancer treatment to the carnival game of whack-a-mole, where you smack a stuffed mole in one spot and it pops up in another.
But if you know all of the different ways you need to whack a mole over time and develop a safe way to give all of those treatments in combination, like we do with HIV, then you basically whack all of the places that the mole might come up simultaneously, and then the mole can't come up anymore.
He's talking about the growing consensus that the way forward has to come from combinations of treatments, adding immunotherapy and other new drugs to the chemo and surgery and radiation we already have.
So that's the future, we can hope. And meanwhile, there has been big progress. This month, the American Cancer Society announced a 25% drop in cancer deaths over the past quarter century.
But the bad news is that a quarter of Americans who now die of cancer shouldn't. Dr. Otis Brawley, the Cancer Society's medical director, says they ask what would happen if all cancer patients had a college education. The answer?
Instead of 600,000 people dying this year, if everybody had the death rate of college-educated Americans, it would be 450,000.
And that's because the best educated Americans are much more likely to have healthier lifestyles and get preventive care and state-of-the-art treatment.
And if access to expensive cancer care is already a problem, the new treatments are really budget busters. Just take the latest and greatest new treatment for the kind of cancer that afflicts Sheila Mulcahy, the nurse we met at the top of this story. Like most new cancer treatments, it costs more than $100,000 a year, and patients need to be on it for the rest of their lives. Jagpreet Chhatwal at Massachusetts General Hospital calculates that the new, more effective therapy is 6 times more expensive than the old treatment.
We think this is just the tip of the iceberg. The trend is very disturbing. Clearly, the sign is that treatment will become unaffordable in the near future.
And the urgency to solve this cost problem will only grow as researchers devise ever more effective new ways of attacking cancer. Scientists are confident they can, more confident than they've ever been.
So there's no cure around the corner, but the prospects for tomorrow's cancer patients are definitely looking brighter. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And I'm Richard Knox.